Sometimes I feel like the guy described in the Bible, who was a merchant, who at certain point of his life sold all he had, all the pearls he had, just to purchase one. And in my life, I was involved in a lot of media arrangements. And we started a lot of things in Poland, and we still are running it. We have six radio, FM radio stations, and we have production facilities, and we have a publishing house, and a lot of things. But when I discovered some 4 years ago this very project that I am trying to share today with you, my life was changed. I didn't sleep that night, because the pictures really touched me. And I must say, I'm much more optimistic than people today here. Because here in Europe, we analyze how hard it is, how difficult it is. We may perhaps try to influence the culture in a little bit. I would prefer that Christ would change people's hearts. They would be saved, transformed, and they would change the culture. We are talking about evangelism, friends, here. Yes. It's not talking about all the important, great things. I am not saying it's not important. We need all that support. But there are millions of people who are just waiting for somebody to present them gospel of Jesus Christ that works today. Because we are talking about spiritual matters, not about strategies, not about plans. Not to say that strategies are not important. They are extremely important. But after saying it, we are surprised watching our lack of faith. Just a few days ago, I was driving with the Polish coordinator of the project. He just laughed. He said, you know, I'm surprised every time when I hear a good testimony that somebody was saved through our webpage. Mm-hmm. And there are right now around 19,000 people who left the forms for follow-up and 180,000 people who confessed Jesus as their Savior. And, you know, it happens. Not because of us. We are nobody. Lord is using very average people because it's His work. And I just pray that He will use this very short time to touch our hearts so that we would be called by Him to make change in your country, in your place. And the biggest joy is then in just a few weeks in Czech Republic, the same project will be launched. And, you know, Czech is perhaps one of the most difficult countries that exist as far as Europe. So this would be quite an experiment. They definitely need a lot of prayer. So, you know, but let's go to the subject. The world changes. Of course, this is a trivia. Everybody knows about it. But do we draw consequences of this fact in our communication of the gospel? Most Christians, they simply back up. Churches are so old-fashioned that it's no more old-fashioned, it's obsolete. You know, for years we are manufacturing cassettes. And in my basement, I have a beautiful machine that has made several million cassettes. It's in perfect working order. It's clean, it's fine-tuned, except its value is zero. Because the time has passed. And in my life, I was involved first in the Christian music band in the days of communism when it was really difficult and it was not allowed. This means we had incredible crowds of people because people always like little danger. And this was a very effective tool for evangelism. Literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people were giving their life to Christ. Mm-hmm. And many of them are solid believers today. And this was a beautiful pioneering time. We are the first people ever to come to many of the Catholic churches with the Bibles. And, you know, when I look at Hank, he was one of the guys who was smuggling Bibles for us. Mm. So, you know, it was a long story. This was a very good time. But then, you know, we got older. We discovered there are many better people playing. It was not so attractive. So before we lost the final guy in the audience, we decided to suspend, you know. We didn't say we are closing the band, but we have suspended it. We didn't come back to it. But we don't know, you know. Now is a time, you know, for all the famous guys to come back. So perhaps for us there is also a chance. So the thing is that Then there was an era when, in Polish context, very, very tremendous effective work was Four Spiritual Laws. And Campus Crusade came with Four Spiritual Laws into the Catholic Church, and there was a real revival. One year in 1978, 500 young Americans came to join secret camps of the Catholic movement OASA, and they had, in the primitive conditions, camps with 30, 40 people eating, you know, a bread with margarine and nothing more, sleeping on a straw, thousands of people. And this was a revival. Literally, up till now, we see results of it. This was a time for spiritual laws. It's over. Sorry. Then there was a time for a Jesus film. We all know it, yes. Hallelujah. Jesus film. Who watches this today? We have Avatar today. Yeah. They are much better productions. Yeah. Throw it away. Then, you know, we have been really excited about the radio. And so we took tremendous effort to put together radio stations together. And we put so much work. We had always too little money, always against all the problems and odds. Still, you know, we wanted to be just a little better than the BBC and ABC together. And it had really very high standards. But the results were, we discovered that radio now is not a good evangelistic tool. Sorry to say it. It's not. Let's be honest. We have it. Who wants to listen to Christian truth? Non-believers, definitely not. Believers, when their family member is speaking, perhaps. Yeah. That's the only condition. So, you know, we changed totally the profile of the radio station. Now it's really very well listened to, and in the last 3 years, our audience increased 12 times. But that's a different story. I'll be talking a little later. So, do we draw consequences that everything changes? It means we should forget about our little hobbies. You know, I'm sure the story of a drunker who lost somewhere some money, and then he was looking for the coin under the lamp in the night. Why? Because there was the light. He was walking the long distance, but he was looking there. And sometimes, on Christian conferences, I have feeling like everybody is excited about his hobby, you know? He's doing it. That's great. We should be passionate about what we do. But if we are talking about strategic evangelism, we should really be different. Because facts are friendly. Facts are friendly. If something does not show on the chart, on a, you know, secular, independent poll, don't think like you have a big impact. You know, Christian organizations, as it's said, they are most evangelistic, talking about their results, you know. The world would be saved several times already if all the numbers would be summed. Let's forget it. You know, let's be realistic. You have a listener or you don't have it. You have a conversion or you don't have it. You have a new member in a church or you don't have it. And there is nothing wrong when you say it's a failure. This thing does not work. It's much better than to say, oh, you know, Satan is against us, you know, we go uphill. Let's not blame Satan for our mistakes, for lack of preparation, for a total, you know, disaster. So, all is advancing, and the Bible has a favorite verse of mine now. My father liked it a lot. Let evildoers do their worst, and the dirty-minded go all out in pollution. But let the righteous maintain a straight course, and the holy continue on holiness. Everything is growing. Some things are growing into bad, and some things are growing into good. And it seems like the distance between one and the second is getting bigger and bigger. We all know we live in a post, and some people say post-modernism. Everybody is setting up his own tour, his own track, deciding on his own life. And actually there is a new form, a new wording that's saying we have an era of intuitionism. It's no more a postmodern. Now you don't care about any post. You simply form your own way of belief. And that's the reality. People don't care on referring to somebody else's thoughts and ideas. They are ignorant. And they are proud of being ignorant. So, if we look for the distance in the worldview between secular person and the Christian person, those two lines are having bigger and bigger distance between themselves. And, you know, for secular people, our viewpoint is simply not only old-fashioned, it's obsolete, it's out of question. And if we want to communicate to the secular person our truth, we really must understand where they are and use the language they understand. We must find out what's happening with them. In the old days, I'm talking about, you know, 15th, 16th, 17th century, we read books from some wonderful holy people, reformers, some other great people. If we would think like there was a river that would divide saved by Christ and lost sinners, there was such an awareness of God's presence in life that people would literally be fasting for sometimes even 60 days because they wanted to please God. They were so motivated to, you know, to discover God's way. They would, you know, punish themselves. We know all those stories. And when the word was presented, many of them almost automatically would jump over to the other side. You know, there are several wonderful stories of people who were, it was all enough would be like to put a match to the dynamite, you know. It was salvation, because they grew up in the awareness of God, and they were scared to death of the judgment, because this was the most preached subject. And when somebody showed them the solution, they simply jump into it. So this was the distance between the secular and the spiritual realm was relatively small. In the 20th century, the traditional 20th century approach, again, we have saved by Christ and lost sinners, and here there is a river. This time it's a little wider. And we have, of course, churches, and the churches have their message. Want to be saved? Join us. John 3:16, that's our message. Great, wonderful. And then we shout in our church, sometimes even outside the church. People have big distance, so we try to build bridges, and we say, come to us, come to us. And what we see, what is the reaction? People are busy with their own life. They are doing the stuff they are doing anytime, all the time. Do they come through the through the bridge? Not really. If this method would work, our churches would be full. How many campaigns, how many events do we make? You know, in our church, you know, I have a very good church and a good pastor. We have been having gospel hours, our outreach, you know, twice a year, four-day campaigns. And then we renamed it because there was nobody new coming to the church to listen to some pretty good preachers. So now we have teaching evenings. It's much more accurate. Why should we fool people around? Welcome. So this, unfortunately, didn't work. But again, time is passing. The distance, the attitude of people on those two sides is growing even bigger. So now, our approach to evangelism, the river, once again, is much wider. You know, I live in the mountains, in a place called Wisła, and we have rivers there. And the wider the river is, the less water there is. I'm sure you know this. And that's why the way that seems to us a current way, instead of a bridge, because it didn't work and the river was too wide, it collapsed, to put stones into the river. And simply, to instead of just shouting from our side, come to us, we have salvation, who cares? People are busy with their own problems. They are really doing their own stuff. So here, we offer them some stones that are a little steps. Actually, this idea was developed by a dear friend of mine, Peter Schelle from Holland, who is kind of a main brain behind the Why Jesus course that we'll be talking in a minute. And now the people are offered an option to go from one stone to the other. They are making the choice. The people in the 21st century, they really want to control their life. They want to make all their choices. They want to know what they do. They want to feel safe along this line. Sometimes they make choices that we would prefer they would make a difference. So they would jump in a different direction. Some others would go in a different way. And then finally, if they are already, through all those stones that we will be talking in a second about, they are being invited, if they make a decision for Christ, to join the small group. Why? Because most of our church culture is not ready nor interested about new saved people. I'm sorry to say it. You know, we have some horrible statistics. We have right now on the waiting list over 2,000 people who are asking us for a connection with a good fellowship, and we have nobody who would like to take care of them. That's the reality. Sorry. You know, we talk, you know, we make next campaign. Churches are so busy doing evangelism that they have no time for taking care of saved people. Why? Because it's not their mindset. You know, they may, most often they think about membership, not so much about people being saved. And that's another step we'll be talking in a second. So this approach seems to work quite well. And then finally, of course, we are not creating any new denomination. We are not planning for any new movement as far as a well-structured. We really want to rely on the biblical institution called church. So we would like everybody to finally end up in a church. This is the approach. People are moving through different modules that are tailored to meet them where they are, to meet their interests. You know, in a scripture, I was discussing with some of you, there are 23 people that Jesus was talking face to face. Out of the 23 people, only 3 had theological problems. It was Nicodemus, rich young ruler, and one more. All the others, the Bible says there were those who were having problems. Sick, lonely, rejected by the society. 23. In the meantime, in our evangelical world, we became experts in answering questions that nobody is asking. And, you know, this is the fact that it's really like we are specializing, we are better and better, fine-tuning. Actually, a dear friend of mine, who is a Messianic Jew, attended for quite some time some of the rabbis' teaching in Israel, and he was very, very impressed with the high level of knowledge that rabbis have. He was shocked. He said it was so much better than anything I heard in Christian circles. You know, because they spent literally tens of hours every week studying every yacht, you know. So, but it's not about knowledge. It's about meeting people where they are. And, you know, if we think about it, we don't want to promote anything revolutionary and new. It's coming back to what Jesus was doing in the very beginning. Because what he did, he met people where they were. Of course, he was God. He knew them. He knew exactly what they are thinking, what are their needs. We don't know the people we are meeting with. That's why we must ask questions. Do we like to ask questions? No. Why? Because we know the answers. So let's make the process faster. We'll tell you, you must be like me. And they look at me and they say, phew, if this is the model, it's not for me. So, you know, that's why it's all moving forward. So if we would look at the chart of the process of evangelism, here we have A, antagonists, people who are indifferent to the gospel, seekers. Here is a point of cross, disciples and maturity. Church specializes in reaching people who are in this place, who are really desperately interested. And there are stories that somebody is knocking to the pastor, you know, at the midnight and has a big problem and he really wants pastor to help. There are true stories, yes. I'm not saying it's not happening. But the problem is that the average person are in totally different place. If we would look, for example, for Arab countries, you know, most of the people are antagonists. Some are interested. Now, of course, it changed in digital revolution. But and some are seekers. In Western Europe, most of the people would be indifferent. They simply don't care. They are, you know, happy with their life. Some are antagonistic, but they are less and less antagonists because simply in postmodernism, you know, it doesn't bother you if, you know, why should you use energy into dealing with something that doesn't really interest you. In Poland, we have much better situation because it seems like majority of people, because of the Catholic culture, are seekers. They grew up in the awareness of God's existence. They are pretty serious about God. They would not allow jokes about God. And, you know, it's just Polish specification. Still, we remember the church is reaching this kind of group here. And they are, in every case, approximately 5-7% who would be desperate. What about 95-93%? So in our approach, when we change all our radio profile, we decided to change Radio CCM and Radio Fest programming in a way that would be a target audience, people who are antagonists, indifferent, and who really don't care. Why? Because that's where is the strength of the radio. Everybody, the access to the radio is much easier than internet. You know, you are in your car, you are everywhere. You like good music, you need news. Here it is. So why not making good, interesting radio run by Christians, passing truth, filtering the news, making sure that we are honest, giving here and there some good stories, documentaries, adding here some testimonials, but absolutely unobtrusive, not using by any way Christian language, the official language. This is complemented by the internet portal I will be talking in a second. Jesus Net, this is the Polish Szukając Boga. Then a next step in the growth for the people who make a commitment for Christ is Why Jesus course. It's an interactive e-learning course. Then we have a spoken word stream. You know, we had all those thousands of excellent tapes from the past. You know, I have my years, so, you know, the benefit of it is that I have a big library. We started with, I think, 78 Billy Graham in Poland. And then from that time, all the major conferences, you know, some excellent speakers, wonderful guys, all available free of charge, 7,000 files. Okay. For those who are interested, cost to us, next to nothing. Cost to the public, free. If we would try to put it on the radio, what there was a time we tried to do it, we lost totally the audience. I was often saying, you know, it would be much cheaper to give everybody a telephone call than to run the radio operation with a budget of 50,000 euro plus a month. So, and then next follow-up steps, groups in Real, Christianity Explored, Christian to the Core, the Truth Project, Alpha courses, and so on. That's the next stage. We have no time to talk about it because time is running extremely fast. So, and Christian music, yes, it has some influence on the people who are non-believers. Why it's such a little influence? Because there's not enough good Christian music. As simple as that. And, you know, we would love to have Michael Jackson, if he would be resurrected, you know, to be a good Christian, or some of the top names, but it's not the real story. So because of that, it's hard to compete. And and then, of course, some other supporting web pages. Can radio really connect with a secular audience? Well, this is a real graph, 10 years of our span in audience. And now we have a point of 6% market share. We are number 5th station in the south of Poland. And the religious stations, it means Catholic, except for Radio Maria, that has totally different context in Poland, they never exceed 0.2%. And this means that we can work commercially. We are breaking even financially. And there is a real test, you know, do you have listeners or you don't? There is no fooling people around that, you know, oh, we are so good, oh, you know, we had a phone call from somebody, oh, we got an email, you know, Facebook. Manipulation, you know, if somebody on the radio talks, oh, you know, we got so many emails, don't believe them. They never have it. It's all fabricated. Now let's talk about this internet project. Are you aware what is the web page Looking for God or not? Okay. I'll just do a very short cut through. This is the web page is very basic. It is, I have it in English now here. This is an Indian English. There are five segments. The first one right here is Father's Love Letter. Father's Love Letter, this is, I'm sure you are familiar with it. If not, I'll just play a little bit of it. It's a very basic PowerPoint presentation with the sound to it. And it gives quotes from the scripture showing God as a loving God who cares for you, who really planned your life, and he has a purpose for you. So those are some very sweetie pictures. Often we say it's planned for a ladies after 50 year old, you know. They love it. We have a lot of people who say that the best pictures, you know, those smiles, they look like from a Jehovah's Witness book. After saying it, you know, we have made now a new version. We have done a contest in Poland. Last Thursday we have received 2,180 pictures to replace. This is not a Polish version. This is an Indian one. So this is a different kind of a taste. But, you know, that's why the face is like that. So you see, it's a very nice, sweet kind of a information. God loves you. That's the main message. The message that people who are in despair desperately need. And you know, it's a sweet music behind. It's very simple. It's nothing special about it. But it really touches people's hearts. The next chapter is testimonials. And you know, there is nothing but testimonies. I was visiting my dear friend Ian Mackie in Britain on the day when they opened the first English language page. Yeah. And I was on a day when they had it first time on the air, this very day, just happened, you know, just happened. And when we watched it, and you know, I'll just show it to you in a second, I just couldn't believe. And I said, we must have it. I said, okay, yes. So he contacted us with the French guys, and because it's French developed. Oh, it's Google promotion, lots of money. Mr. Google is getting rich because of us. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how would you come across this?
I'll just show it. You know, any word you write that's close to God, and so on. Plus, there are also AdSense words. So if there is in any secular paper or in any other thing, something about God or religion or church, there is our link added. Or, you know, there are also, I will be just talking about it, landing pages. It's a whole system, you know. We already used most of our time and we didn't even start. So that's an interview. We'll not go through it. It's videoed. Then the third line is an interview with God. If you could ask God, what would you like to do? What you know, your major question, you can ask it here. And there are some answers. So they are, you know, I looked at the great mountains, blah, blah, blah. A big question, why there is suffering on earth? And there is a good answer based on the scripture. You know, it's our nature that causes suffering. And so on. But it's very low-key, friendly, and so on. Then the next page is a short apologetics. It's, as you see, there are cuts from a Jesus film. And a few sentences, why Jesus is so special, why should we trust him, and so on. The fifth one chapter, it's a four spiritual laws. And it ends up with a sinner's prayer. And when somebody here presses that he wants to accept Jesus, in real time, we see it now on the Google. And as we will be talking here, we'll be seeing how the world is changing around, is moving. Right now, a few seconds ago in Pakistan, in Lahore, somebody using the Indian webpage, Maharifa Alan, accepted Jesus. And as we will be sitting here, you will be seeing how it is turning all the time around. So when I saw this in Ian's office, I knew that we must have it, you know. Why? Because it is effective. You don't believe it? Okay. People of small faith. Here you have the same map, but in two-dimensional. Here you see the last few minutes. Russian, Pakistan, that's what we saw on the Google. In the meantime, it's a Russian Federation. Austria, Sudan, Australia, Canada, Poland, France, United States, Russian, Poland. See, Poland. All around the globe. Right now, 19 languages. The 20th will be Czech. So, you know, let's look at the numbers. This is the global numbers. Visits to the web page. The first time visit. So it's only the first IPs. 25,386,409. Decisions, 2,489,000. Yesterday, 1,700 decisions. Visitors, today, because it's only part of a day, it's noon, 7,500 decisions. And this is happening right now as we are sitting here, and you can witness this as the globe is rushing. Now, we didn't see the moment when it switched from Pakistan, but we'll see it in a second. So, you know, this is absolutely measurable. It's, you can touch it, you can see it. People are touched by the Spirit. Do we believe in Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Who is not believing? I'm sorry, we have some Pentecostals, so we would not ask them. But, you know, it seems like we are scared. You know, I come from a Lutheran background, and it's so uncomfortable to talk about Holy Spirit. Now I am much more free to talk about it, because I see him work. You know, there are effects that we would never accomplish without the work of the Holy Spirit. He is making things happen. He is making miracles. You know, when our e-coaches, who many of them are simple people, they say, you know, I just had a letter, I didn't know what to say, what to answer. There are letters, you know, they are really difficult letters. It's somebody writing, for example, I am a homosexual, I tried to reject it. I know it's a sin. I know I'm going to hell. I talked to the priest. He has no solution. Could you help me? Or a girl saying, you know, my mother died recently. I am staying with my father. He is very seriously ill. He requires 24-hour help every day. I cannot even leave the house. He's unpleasant and nasty to me. My life is passing by. I am now, you know, 20-some. I don't meet anybody. I cannot leave the place. I was once believing, but I lost my faith. Where is God? You know, those are difficult issues. It's not John 3:16. Come on, big smile. It's a different story. But the Lord, you know, and the e-coach, when he sees a letter like that, often, you know, prayer. Next day, he's writing. One girl told me, you know, when I read my own letter, I couldn't believe I am so wise. Simple people. Some of them very highly educated. Of course, we have different categories. But it's really work of the Spirit. And you are here on the frontier because people come with the real problems. And they really want to be close to you. So it's a situation that is quite... okay, here we are in the presentation. And let's go further on.
How much do you pay Google?
Pardon?
How much do you pay Google?
Google? Yeah. In Poland we pay... Because Polish language is very small. So it's relatively inexpensive. We have pay $2,600 a month. Okay. Yeah, but there is here a brother from Turkey, a wonderful friend, and Turkey actually have the biggest numbers. They have 4,200 visits a day. And they spend $100,000 a year for promotion. But they have like 400,000 decisions. They have some 150,000 people who ask for a contact. And they have 62% of the people who write are Muslims. You know, that's the fact. They are facts. You know, how could you... You know, facts are friendly. Let's better not discuss. We may say that the methodology is wrong, but okay, facts are showing this. So it really works. And I show you the desktop of Google. So what are the main rules behind the whole thing? What is the DNA of this whole movement? Because, you know, Eric Sellerier, he is a funny guy. He's really a good man. And I will just introduce him shortly. Okay. Okay, yes. He's the guy who developed it.
I'm Eric, the fisherman. Oh, fantastic! A new decision for Jesus! Wow! Let's baptize this new convert. I baptize you now. Be ready. 1, 2, 3, go! Feel the power! Oh, do you feel good?
I feel good!
Okay, so what is the DNA? What is the essence? What we really want to accomplish? What is the, I would say, 21st century evangelism model? What is the main, the reasons for existence? The vocations of JesusNet are to facilitate online the spiritual journey of people seeking life in abundance and liberation from the dominance of sin. The aim is to affect their lives so that they in turn affect others by connecting them with the loving message of Jesus through understanding and developed contemporary communication. Communication. When we look at the scale of this conference, the communication track is just 20 people. And this is the most important. Sorry, you know, I am biased, of course. But, you know, it's really important. And but it's so much easier to study the Bible even deeper. And it's important. I'm not saying anything wrong. I love to listen to Os Guinness, and the morning, you know, sessions are absolutely amazing, you know, the Bible studies. But there is a time for action as well. So let's use our brain and let's strategize as well to make sense. The second thing, to encourage our online audience to experience the power of community and durable fellowship within the body of Christ through online and offline connections with followers of Jesus. So we definitely must go at certain point offline, because we want people to end up somewhere in the churches, in existing churches or in new churches where there are no existing churches. Do we do it now? Me personally not, but there are several people who do. That's the power of partnership. You know, we can do very little by ourselves. It's all about the power of partnership. I could tell many stories. Miracles happening when people want. Every one of you, as we are sitting here, have a set of connections, friends, a very high level of trust with some of your top, you know, kind of people. If we would all agree that we give all what we have, all our contacts, all our connections to make something happen, whew, the world would be different. And that's exactly what partnership gives. When the Spirit touches people's hearts and they see it makes sense, people are being saved daily. And the third one thing, to stimulate the creative potential of our partners and become more effective by working together to increase the impact of JesusNet. We strengthen and encourage one another through our shared experience and knowledge. Again, now it's a fight for creativity. Who will win? The most creative guy. I know a guy, his name is Ed Miller from Colorado Springs, one of the, I think, the Excellence in Giving organization. He's the president and founder of it. And when I visited him last time, he talked about his son, who took a little a part in a contest of Nike. And there were 280,000 people promoting, you know, Nike, sending their own things. And his son was number one, 21-year-old. I would like him to be a speaker on a conference like that. You know, that's what we need. Creativity, cooperation, helping one another with ideas. That's where is the future. And so what drives our choices? Innovation. Always choose innovation that will rank JesusNet as a cutting-edge and trend-setting evangelistic platform to inspire and encourage others to develop creative evangelistic tools. You know, let's use creativity. Let's come up. You know, I'm sure, you know, we have listened to some on our track, and there are some excellent ideas. So let's share it. Let's discuss. That's why the forum is a good place. let's talk about it, but let's go to the next step, not just say, oh, see you in a year. You know, we met last time, last year, I was very excited about it. I was discouraged you didn't send me a copy of your film. Excellent. Because it's good stuff. Why to wait? What for? You know, time is passing. We are getting older. I'm talking about myself. My wife never gets older. Unity. Always collaborate with those who will nourish the DNA of JesusNet to secure its sustained growth and multiplication, to ensure its fruitfulness of invested resources and efforts. You know, I have a good news for you. The thing is that when people are really on fire in evangelism, they usually get united. It's generals who quarrel. Soldiers on the front line of alien forces, they usually are friends. When we really want to accomplish goal, we see the potential in our neighbor. Whew. Come, I want to be with you. Come, join us. We don't have hidden agendas. Absolute transparency. Next thing, excellence. Always strive for excellence in everything we do to glorify God and be effective in reaching our goals. To glorify God and be effective. Why? Because the world is getting better and better products. Even some of the, you know, YouTube things are being made perfectly, but then they are downscaled to look like amateurs have made it, in many cases. Then another important thing, Jesus only. That's our theology. Always concentrate on spreading the redeeming message of crucified and resurrected Jesus by refraining from denominational debates to keep our focus on evangelization and to win as many people as possible to Christ. Some would say, oh, you don't preach the whole gospel, full gospel. Did Jesus preach the full gospel? I have not seen it in my Bible. He would meet a Samaritan woman, and what was his question? Was it a theology at all? We have turned it into a theology. Now we have a pre-produced packages of the knowledge that is required to say to somebody so that our conscience would allow us to sleep well during the night. Yeah, it's crazy. We have created a Christianity that's so far away from Christ. And, you know, there was a test made, I believe it was in England, I think Rico Tice is quoting it, that, you know, people reject Christianity, but they don't reject always Christ. You know, they would like to go in footsteps of Jesus, because we misrepresented Christ on the earth. And then, so Jesus only, that's the idea behind it. Seeker-driven. Always aim first for the heart of seekers and focus on their spiritual needs by resonating their reality and being relevant for their spiritual journey. You know, they are the important guys, not we with our truth. There are some theories that say, you know, just learn your testimony, memorize it, and then tell it in a day 5 people. I was doing it, yes. The effect? Well, my faith grew. Because I was more courageous. But this is the only effect. Nobody was saved through it. I know that in several cases some people do. But, you know, again, when we really want to find out where the person is, what's his problem, when he has a tooth pain, he would not be the best listener to you. So find a dentist for him. You know, let's be normal. Why should we over-spiritualize? We are usually witnessing to people who are too slow to escape when they see us. They cannot run to the other side of the street. That's why it's so effective, so-called, you know, hitchhikers evangelism. You know, you take somebody, you drive 180 kilometers per hour, and then you preach the gospel to them, you know, and then they cannot escape because they are scared they will kill themselves. You know, that's how it works. Accessibility. Never let financial inability or any disability hinder the transfer of our resources, knowledge, and experience to others in order to give everyone the opportunity to reach their sustainable growth potential. You know, I think this is a fabulous thing. It's a revolutionary statement. And quietly, here at this forum, we are experiencing it. I'm sure you are guessing that most of the money to fund it all comes from America. Praise God for America. Praise God for America. God bless America and the people there. Because they want to make it accessible to us. Who of us could pay all the price? See? And that's what we want to do on a global scale as a new way. How does it work? You say, oh, it's easy to write. Does it work? Yes, it does. Poland is a rich country? No, by no way. I even don't want to tell you how much money we are gathering. Why? Because half of our e-coaches are men, more than half of our e-coaches are businessmen. When they do it, they see it, come on. Money we have never been dreaming before. Of course, for a purpose. Totally transparent. On the internet, there is a line saying, you know, how much received, where was spent. Why? Because they are normal people. They are businessmen. They don't want to, anybody to steal it. So let's be honest. And the final two, humility. Always display an attitude of modesty, humility, and accountability by giving God glory to God in all we do and for all we achieve, so that we impact people instead of impress them. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Well, if you agree so far, then you can join the band. Come on.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying in the very beginning. Wholeheartedness. Always find the motivation for our undertakings in our undivided passion for seekers and for online communication, so that we transmit joy and have a contagious enthusiasm that impacts our partners and our audience. You know, that's exactly what works. Every movement starts with somebody with a passion. If we have no passion, let's pray for it. Let's really search our hearts. Not everybody will be, you know, George Verver and will start a movement, Operation Mobilization, or any other big movement. But passion, you know, right here, there is a guy, I will not give his full name, he's from Poland. He's our regional coordinator for the project in Poland. We had just recently another training for candidates for e-coaches. Out of 27 people, 23 were brought by him. Because he was telling the story, similarly as I am doing here. And people saw it, yeah, it makes sense, yeah, okay, rings the bell. I can do it out of my house. I am kind of scared to go to the streets, but it's in my armchair, and it works. So, why not? Let's get involved. And what are the key needs of people? That's an important thing, you know, how we want to help people. We must discover what are the needs and then try to respond to the needs by watching the symptoms. So symptoms need follow-up modules. We will not go through it now. Symptoms, loneliness. So the need is relationship. What are the modules, the follow-up modules that we have developed? Here they are. I will not go through it. And there are several other things. They are all based on tens of thousands of emails that we received. So this is not a book knowledge. This is based on the analysis of the mails, because with the scale, we all understand that statistics becomes pretty accurate. So those are the needs of people. And of course, we all know that this need is being met by Jesus. But to the unsaved person, it doesn't make any sense. So that's why, you know, this is on our line, the ultimate knowledge. And so the model we developed, secular culture in which people are immersed, family, internet, TV, social media, peers, radio, magazines, pop culture, movies, school, church. In Polish context, church is still on the list. In many countries, in Czech Republic, I don't think it makes much difference. So then, attempts to meet people's interest in God. Where is this done? Google search engine, our radio, text messages, events, friends, other media, booklets. And then we also put together some so-called landing pages. If something important is happening in the world, why not put a page that people would find anyway? For example, tsunami in Japan. A team from JesusNet went to Japan. They have excellent documentaries and films and things placed on the web. Many people come there because they were interested, particularly when it was just after the event. And the Google promotion cost zero, because people wanted to know it anyway. In Holland, for example, there's a huge problem of suicide. I was told it's 11% people that are considering a suicide. And so they have made a page that's called I Want to Die. Mm-hmm. Wow. And people come to the page, and there is, you know, there are good reasons for why life is hard, but there is also a solution. Plus, come to the web looking for God, JesusNet, and so on, landing pages. Then there is the main page, is the JesusNet decision point. That's the one that we looked a few minutes ago. True, mobile phone version, widgets. Why mobile phone versions? Because on the globe, there's almost 7 billion people and 5.7 billion mobile phones. And even recently, India has announced that in the next 10 years, we'll put internet into every village. So very soon from the mobile phone, we will switch into smartphones, and then perhaps tablets or something, and this would go through it, you know. And then there are all the follow-up modules, and the real work starts here. Because philosophy is one thing, but now you must develop a number of modules that would really help people to meet their spiritual needs. The key people here are volunteers. We call them e-coaches. E-coach is not an evangelist, because an evangelist is preaching the gospel. And we are not preaching the gospel over the heads of people. E-coach is not a teacher who likes teachers. Sorry, I don't want to offend anybody here. But, you know, school years were nice when we think about old days, but teacher is somebody who is giving you marks, evaluating you. In our case, there are no bad answers. People are simply saying where they are. It's always a starting point. If somebody says something most ridiculous, some people are offensive, okay, why are you doing so? Somebody has offended you, somebody perhaps from the church, or, oh yeah, and now suddenly, when you react very gently, they open up with all the bitterness and problems. So this is the model. We have no time to go through the modules. It's extremely effective, I tell you. There is a lot of work. There are projects that are developed internationally. We pick up the best from what's in the world. And because of that, it's quite attractive to people. And it's a hybrid model. It means part of it is offline, part of it is online. We discovered that online is visited 10 times more at least than the offline, because it's easier accessibility. And the final answer to it, of course, is a prayer. Because if not a prayer, you know, it's a spiritual work. What can we talk about? So statistics for Poland, we had on the web page. Here we are. I was mentioning this a little faster. And the numbers, they are really very impressive. So it means it really works, but it's the glory really to the Lord only. How do we see the future? What we would like to see in 5 to 10 years? Local partners, like each one of you, having similar networks, and the condition is simply to agree with this DNA, this approach, that is not preaching the denominations, it's preaching Christ, is trying to reach people, giving them total freedom on selecting their future church. It's allowing others to continue the work, because we are on the little part of it. And the reaching 95, technical reach of 95% of population. Accomplishments, there are a number of wonderful stories, we will not go through it right now. Positive influence on secular world's perception of the way the gospel is presented through its fresh, contemporary manner of communicating biblical truth. The authentic and compelling testimonies of followers of Christ will reinforce this positive influence. Yesterday here in this room, Pablo from Spain had a very good talk about their Spanish webpage. How often secular media are referring to their page because they found it trustworthy. So, it's all, of course, was built up with the time. And for us, it all started in 1975, adding different things. But as I said with this pearl, I really feel like, you know, that's the thing that takes now 80% of my energy. And this is a synergy of different media. Again, we have no time to go through it very diligently. But it really is encouraging volunteers. There are so many sub-subjects that could be discussed in hours, but our time is close to the end. And of course, we want absolutely to give the whole glory to the Lord. Because one is sowing, other is watering, but growth gives the Lord. And this is a dissipated model. We don't have any organization for it. It's a model of a structure of people who are simply getting involved, and then they are linked to the whole system. And there is a lot of electronic support for everybody. There is a new CRM system that we put to place with all those modules. You can imagine thousands of letters. It's good to keep some kind of a control. So we have developed many models from the scratch. Also, in case of the follow-up materials, we are pressed to make our own software because we couldn't find any current e-learning platform that would meet our requirements. It's very heavy video-based, very short. So, for example, the discipleship program that's called Christian to the Core has 52 short videos. So it's, you know, you must be ready with this kind of a platform that would make it very easy. And there is a whole army of people, of course, involved. This is only a very small part. We have right now around 150 active e-coaches, around 110 group leaders in Rio, and several other people, wonderful friends. You know, there is a new kind of a fellowship. 50% of the e-coaches are from the Catholic background, from the Catholic revival movement. We have all the different denominations. We are tolerated so far by all the denominations. You know, it's all building bridges, talking, inviting, sharing, and we have no time now to show it. So that's it. If you have any questions, please come with it. If there is anything that you could be interested in. George, the question is, do we change the focus of the Polish church? George Werwer, I remember, once used a phrase, church is like a big elephant that has seven other elephants on his head and three legs in a clay. So there is an impact, but it takes time. You know, people in church are so afraid of all the novelties. Unless, you know, there is a son of the bishop, like you are, would tell Father, come on, you know, let's do it. For other reasons, they would be much more open, because they see the enthusiasm, they see the dynamics. But there is a process, and I would say more and more churches are opening. The main question is, why we cannot take the contacts to our church. You know, when we will invest our time, but, you know, they will join our church. And we say, no. Why? Because let's treat people seriously. The only person who is a believer they know is you. And they are different people's needs. Let's give them a choice. When they come to the point when they say, yes, I want to have fellowship, the model we would like to see and what's actually implemented is that he is contacted in his town when there is a possibility of that, with the e-coach, who is a member of the church, and he is meeting first for a cup of coffee. First, it will be best to do it Alpha group or Christianity Explored group, as a home group, like 10 weeks. And then, when already they developed a close relationship, we say, well, where do you go on Sunday? Oh, if you want to, come with me to my church and see how you like it. But, you know, there are two other churches, and here are the people would call you, and just go around and see what meets you need. There was not a one single situation that a person would not end up in this kind of a church. Because people like freedom. If you would say, oh, that other church, you know, their doctrine is horrible, and the pastor, you know, where he has all his money from, and by the way, you know, well, you can all guess the stories that are gossips, you know, you would kill the situation. Absolutely. You know, let's be positive. Let's give people the choice. Let's treat them seriously. When somebody is very energetic, wonderful. Let him join a Pentecostal church. Hallelujah. You know, if somebody is more, you know, kind of, he's used to be more quiet and prefers more stable situation, I would say, okay, let's send him to a different place. The problem is that there are too few churches that are competing for people. That's the problem. That's the real problem behind it. If you would ask me, what is the weak side? Churches. And now the big problem we have is to persuade or just to invite our e-coaches to start their groups. And who knows what. Because You know, it would be irresponsible to leave people in the middle of nowhere. So you will have sleepless night, I hope. Yes, and so thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, now you see how it works now.
Yes. Oh.